Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Donna Shelton for this life-changing message.
I actually asked if I could speak. Because God gave me a word a few Tuesday nights ago, maybe a month ago. And he said, there is a prophetic word to be given from the titles of the messages that have been given on the Holy Spirit Tuesday nights since the beginning of January. So I thought, that's pretty interesting. I went back and looked at all the titles, and I was here for some of them, and I wanted to listen to all of them again and take all my notes over again, and the Lord said, that's not what I told you to do. He said, I didn't tell you the prophetic word was in all of the messages. I told you the prophetic word was in the titles. So I'm going to give you the titles of the messages. There were a couple of snow nights, snow Tuesdays, so there's a couple of gaps, but on January 4th, Rick preached a fresh outworking of the Holy Spirit. On the 14th, he also spoke, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. On the 21st, I spoke, sing the song of the Lord in the Holy Spirit. Josh spoke on February 11th, the power of the Holy Spirit. Sean spoke on February 18th, the grace that empowers. Pat Krebs spoke on February 25th, doing miracles with Jesus. Mike Limp spoke on March 4th, supernatural faith. On March 11th, Josh spoke on being closer, seeking him more. On March 18th, Pastor Lloyd Blunt spoke on the seventh level of perfecting our faith. And on March 25th, Pastor Rick spoke on man's restoration. And if you look at all of these titles, this is what the Lord is saying to us. I have a fresh outworking of the Holy Spirit that I am getting ready to pour out. And we can look at Acts 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all mankind. Now, we can pause there, because there's a distinction. He didn't say, read what he said. He didn't say on all Christian mankind. But he said, in the last days, I'm declaring that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh mankind. And when I do this, the Christian mankind is included. And this is how you're going to know when it's poured out on the Christian part of all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. They will tell forth the divine counsels. Now, any of you have sons and daughters? Every day of your life, you need to be speaking over them. You will, as you pray over them, you say, my sons and my daughters will prophesy. They will tell forth the divine counsels of God. Are any of you a son or a daughter? Then you should be saying, as a daughter, I will prophesy the divine counsels of the Lord as God pours out his Spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to foretell the divine counsels of God. It says, your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances. When you look up those words, it means they're going to gaze with open eyes. Those are open-eyed visions. They're not going to be asleep. They're going to see visions. So all of the young men, I would say that would go to anybody that is 40 and under. It's a generation. Somebody went, 40 and under. You need to be saying, I'm going to see, I declare that I will see visions from God. Open visions from God of His will, His plans, and His purposes. And it says, and the old men, or in the Greek it says the elderly. So I'm an elderly. I'm over 40. So I'm an elderly, and it says that the elderly are going to dream dreams while we're asleep. That we're going to dream dreams. Now, for those of you that say, I never dream when I go to sleep, how many of you have said that? I never dream. Don't say that anymore. When you go to sleep, a prophet Augustine used to always tell us this. He trained us so much in the prophetic. But he said, before you go to sleep, he said, you just tell the Lord, said, now, Father, I'm laying my body to sleep. But my spirit does not sleep. And I ask you to use my spirit, speak to my spirit, give my spirit dreams, speak to me, give me dreams, give me visions, give me words, anything that you need to do. Do that while I'm asleep, because I yield my spirit to you and I come against nonsense in my soul, trying to disturb what you're wanting to do in my spirit. Rick used to talk in his sleep all the time. And he said, tell him stop that. So you prophesy. We did that one time, and I was like, oh, I'm afraid of what he might say. But you know what? I did do that. And there's so many times he would wake up praying in tongues. And there were so many times he'd wake up and be declaring something of the Lord in his words and out of the deep sleep and out of the abundance of his spirit of what was going on. You see, God doesn't waste anything if we will be aware of his spirit and what is going on. So there's a fresh outworking of the Holy Spirit. I really, really, really want to go on to this. I'm just going to say, and on my men servants and on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit. They will prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. This is what we're doing. Foretelling divine things in God's kingdom. And he said, I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath. Blood and fire and smoking vapors. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes, that great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day. And it shall be. Now he's talking after the Lord has poured out his spirit on all flesh. Then this other things are going to happen too. And it shall be that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord, the Christ, shall be saved. And it goes on to back to Joel. Coming up this year, in the next year period, we're going to have the sun turn to darkness and the moon turn to blood. It's called a blood moon on the feast days, which hasn't happened since 1967. When those things happen on feast days, there's always things that happen in the earth that are prophetically inspired. So, this Passover Easter on April 15th is the first of the blood moons. The next one will be on the Feast of Tabernacles in September of this year. The next one will be on Passover next year on 15. And the next one will be on the following September on the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will not happen again in the whole century. These are God doing God things. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And also I'm reminded of the scripture. And when you see these things come to pass, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't get shaken, rattled, or rolled. Just be thankful and make sure that you're winning souls. Make sure you're winning souls. The next title was, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 said, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit." So, because we know that there's a fresh outworking of the Holy Spirit upon the earth, divinely appointed by God, God wants us, in light of those things, to always be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? How do you do that? Pray in the Spirit. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in English. Sing in the Spirit. Sing with your understanding. But you are to continually be building yourself up, walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when I spoke, singing the song of the Lord. Just had a little refresher course tonight. Singing in the Spirit, the song of the Lord, there's something that it does inside you. It's like it hooks up to something of joy and something of the presence of the Lord, because around the throne there's so much worship, so much praise going on at all times. That's Ephesians 5:19. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ the Father. And then Josh spoke on February 11th and spoke on the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. We all know it. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's the point of being filled with the Holy Spirit, with His ability, with His power, with His might. That word dunamis, Rick preached a message back in the early 80s, and I've never forgotten it. The word dunamis, Rick's definition is ability, spirit, miracle-working power, ability, might, and strength. So you shall receive miracle-working power, ability, might, and strength after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and that shall enable you to be my witnesses in your Jerusalem, which is your neighborhood, your household, your family, Samaria, to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Everywhere you are, He pretty much covers it. You're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness to Him. Don't say, "I'm timid." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit that's in you, because He came to give you power, miracle-working power, ability, might, and strength. You don't have to be goofy. You don't have to be religious. Please don't be goofy. Please don't be religious. I've taught so many people. Pastor Mike, can you just come up here a minute? I've taught the ladies this in so many of the things that we've been talking about, that, you know, to be a Christian and to walk in the power and the might of the Lord. So Mike is a server at the restaurant, okay? And he's just served his lunch. And I noticed that he's got a frown on his face. And he's just not happy like he usually is, or he's made a mess of everything. And so instead of me not giving him a good tip, I ain't giving him a good tip. Look at that service. You better bless that guy, because you're being a witness at all times. And you're sowing into his life for the seed of the gospel. Okay? So, first of all, I'm already planning I'm going to give him a good tip. Because even though everything's gone wrong, there might be a lot of things going on in his life that I don't know about. So then I ask him, say, "Hey, it's totally cool. Got the wrong order. You know, you dropped something. You know, it's just kind of been a mess. Is everything okay with you? Is it just bad in the kitchen back there?" 9 times out of 10, they say, "Yeah, well, it's bad in the kitchen, but, you know, my wife is pregnant. She just lost her baby, or, you know, my child, or something. My dad just died, blah, blah, blah." And you know what? You don't have to say, "Well, let me just pray for you here right now." No. You know what you do? You just touch them. You say, "You know what? I just want to let you know it's all okay. I'll be praying for you, but it's going to be okay." That's all you do, because when you touch them, you release the anointing. All you have to do is touch them. Just touch them. Every time I touch people, I'm consciously releasing the anointing. I've trained myself. I don't get spooky or anything. I just, when I touch people, I'm pouring out the love of Jesus into their life. And they might not realize it for 24 hours a day, but see, Paul says, some sow seeds, some water, but God gives the increase. I might be a seed sower, just to sow some love and encouragement or just to put a hand there. God will send somebody else to come along a little bit later and say, you know what? God might have the answer for this for you, but it was already opened up a little bit just by somebody showing them some love and care and concern. Like, people do care. Instead of getting mad at me for messing up their order, like everybody else, like I messed up somebody else's order. I've had them say this, oh, I'm new and I messed up somebody's order and I've been reamed about 5 times today. And I was like, you know what? We are the best people you will ever have to wait on. I said, because we're easy. And if you mess up, we give a lot of grace and we want you to be the best server you can be. So it'll be all right. We'll help you. We'll help you. And we do, and then we give them a good tip. So you see what I'm saying? This is how we go about with miracle working power, ability, might, and strength. And there might be times when somebody's laying down there and they're having an epileptic seizure and stuff. You can go down where they're having that seizure and be giving help, but you can also be saying, I rebuke you, you foul spirit, in the name of Jesus. You don't have to do it out loud, but you can be doing it. Oh, they hear. They hear. I bind you from operating in this people's life, loosed off of them in Jesus' name, or violence or anything else. You see, we are God's secret agents in this world. Okay, thank you, Mike. We're his secret agents in this world. We have got to be about the Father's business. Jesus said, I've got to be about my Father's business. He went about doing good. Well, hello. What qualifies as doing good? Not being mean, not being critical, not being stingy, you know, not getting revenge because somebody messed up your order. Do good. I always clean the bathrooms when I go in a restaurant. I always wipe down the counters. Always. I've taught all my ladies to do it. Yes? I went into a restaurant one time and I was wiping down the counter and somebody from another church said, Pastor Donna, she said, I'd heard that you do that, and I'd never thought, no, she wouldn't do that. I see it with my own eyes. I said, I'm blessing these people working here, and they have their hands full. You know, they have their hands full. They're serving, doing all that stuff, much less having to run in here and keep this clean all the time. And I said, besides, I'm here. It's not hard for me to just take the extra and just wipe it off, and I'm sowing seeds for the next person. And when somebody else comes and say, oh, do you work here? No, I just love this place and I'm blessing this place because I love this place and I love the people that come here. Sowing seeds, all right? So it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Pastor Sean spoke about the grace that empowers. And we all know Pastor Rick's message on grace. And I was teaching Pastor Sean's children. They were reciting it back to me, the definition of grace. God's empowering presence to be all that he has called us to be and to do all that he has called us to do. If you don't have it memorized, memorize it. Memorize it. As well as the dunamis. God's empowering presence to be all he's called you to be and to do all he's called you to do. That's what his grace is for. It's a grace that empowers. So, when he gives you a fresh outworking of the Holy Spirit and his glory is coming upon the whole earth, and as we're being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, doing all those things, the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit will come on us and will give us a grace, God's empowering presence, to be able to do all he's called us to do every moment of every day and to be all he's called us to be every moment of every day. And then Pastor Pat spoke on doing miracles with Jesus. So when you have God's empowering presence, to be all that he's called you to be and to do all he's called you to do. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit and all these things going on in your life. The next natural thing to do is start doing what Jesus did. Miracles. I am a walking, talking, miracle working child of God. I don't have to be arrogant about it, but if I see something, I know how to pray, I know how to rebuke, I know how to cast out devils, and there will be times, I'll get out ahead of myself. There are prophetic words that have been spoken. We have got to, in these last days, heal the sick, cast out devils, deliverance ministry, and not be afraid of those demons. You walk in the name and the power of Jesus, get out of them in Jesus' name. I bind you. Don't you even think of talking to me. I bind you out. You can't have them out. Know who you are. Know what you stand for with the empowering presence of the Lord, and do miracles. Do miracles. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Raise the dead. Yeah, it's going to happen. Because the knowledge of the glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. As all these things happen, and I got another thing to say about that in a minute. Don't let me forget. And then Pastor Mike Limp talked about supernatural faith, the gift of faith. And you can go from there to 1 Corinthians 12. And I love these scriptures. Of course, I love them all. But 1 Corinthians 12, it's all about spiritual gifts. But on verse 7, it says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit." Every one of us has been given something for good and for the profit of the body and for the profit of the kingdom and for the profit of the world. And don't you forget it. To one is given, in and through the Holy Spirit, the power to speak a message of wisdom, to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. See, the Lord is going to do things if we're walking in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, being hooked up to the Spirit of God at all times. You're going to be in a restaurant and you can look over there and God will show you that person has cancer. I just want you to go over there and say, you know what? Do you have cancer? They might say, no. Okay, sorry. I just felt in my heart that might be a possibility. They might really, but they just are terrified or whatever. But then it might be the case. They might have just found out that day that they have cancer. And you say, how did you know? Well, you know what? Because Jesus loves you that much that he just did a laser beam on you. My heart went straight out to you, and I just heard the word cancer, and I just want you to know, give me your name, and I am going to pray for you. And right here in the middle of the restaurant, we don't have to join hands and pray or anything, but I just want you to know that I am praying for you, and I can just talk to you right now and just say, in the name of Jesus, I come against that. We're not going to allow that in her life. Lord, you showed me that she had cancer for this very reason, because you want to heal her and to show yourself strong on her behalf. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. Have a nice day. Have a nice meal. Go back to your table. Things like that. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. Do you know what the gift of faith is? Gift of faith is not something you build up. It's not something that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There is a gift of faith, and God is going to appropriate for the situation the gift of faith to come into operation. As we are doing all these things and operating in all this prophetic word of the Lord that God has given us, there could be a tornado out there, final cloud coming down. The gift of faith says, back up in that sky right now. And it'll be done. A gift of faith knows that you speak something, it's already done. It's like when Pastor Blunt said about going and looking into the sea. about that cloud going seven times. He saw something, and deep was calling unto deep. But when you have a gift of faith, whatever the situation is, you see it done, and you know it's done. I mean, there's no doubt. Now, people pretend to have a gift of faith and then get sunk. But when you have a gift of faith, you know you have a gift of faith. But see, this is one of the things. We're going to have this supernatural faith. We're going to grow in our faith. We're going to be strong in faith. But in addition to the strong faith that we're all going to walk in as we're doing all these things, there is going to be times when there will be a supernatural gift of faith come on each one of us for an appropriate moment to show forth the power of the glory and the glory of God in our day, in our times, to reveal that God is not dead. He is surely alive. And then Pastor Josh spoke on closer. We have got to seek him more. And that was a precursor to Pastor Lloyd Blunt's going to the seventh level of your faith, having your faith perfected. You can't rest about where you are. You can't ever be satisfied with where you are in the Lord. We have to seek him more. If you're not seeking him and growing, you're sliding. There's no such thing, because the current of our world is always going that way. And we as Christians have to always be like salmon swimming against the current. As long as we are in this world, we are swimming against the current, against the tide of everything in this sin-cursed world that Rick has been preaching about with God's dream. So we must seek God, get closer and closer and closer, pushing through to have our faith perfected, growing up, so that we can be mature. No, you know, there's always going to be babies in the Lord, but it's a shame to have people that have been Christians for 40 years and they're babies. They're just babies. They never get over it. And you have to let the Holy Spirit deal with your issues. You're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to let some things go. You're going to have to put some things at the foot of the cross and let the blood of Jesus wash them away so that you can grow and be mighty in this day and hour. And the whole purpose of all this stuff is what Rick preached last Tuesday. Part of God's dream, the fourth part of God's dream, is man's restoration. We are all used by the Lord as we're strengthened and empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking in his grace, walking in his miracle-working power, ability, might, and strength, praying in the Spirit, receiving the gifts that we need appropriate for each situation, to be able to help restore mankind that Jesus loved and died for. That's why we're here. Otherwise, Jesus could have, you know, it's like he said, if the purpose was just for us to go to heaven, God could cause us all to just immediately accept the Lord and have a heart attack and die. Our heart just, boom, all right, it's all. But that's not what it's all about. God has a dream, and his dream is that man would be restored, and that when he comes back, that his table, that is, his banqueting table is not empty. And Jesus said, when he gave that parable, he said, I wanted them to come to the marriage supper, and those that were the ones that were invited, oh, I'm too busy. I don't feel like going to church tonight. I'm tired. I just got married. I'm moving. I just got a new job. Blah, 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 blah. He said, that's not acceptable. He said, you go out, told his servants, go out into the highways, into the byways, and compel them to come in. And they did, and they said, there's still room. And he said, compel them more. He said, my house, I want my house to be full. And you see, if you see an empty seat, that's somebody's eternity. Wherever you see an empty seat, that's somebody's eternity. And we've got to see that seat is not an empty seat, that's somebody's eternity. And is that empty seat my responsibility for somebody's eternity? I always think it is. I have to be responsible for everybody I come in contact with. To listen to the Lord, to share the gospel, to share love. It's not always God's will that you just preach to them and say, you turn or burn, or anything like that. But it's God's will to do good, to be a waterer or a seed sower, or to be one that reaps the harvest. Sometimes people are ripe, and all they need is somebody to just talk to them and say, do you want to come to church with me? I didn't think ever anybody would ever ask me. I wanted to go to church, but I'm new here, and I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in this town. Or I've had a really bad experience at another church, and I've just been real hurt, and whatever. And you say, you know what? I can't guarantee you that you'll never be hurt again in church, because we're all people. Churches are full of people that are basically people and not perfect. But I can tell you that I as much as it is within us, we will love you. But just don't look at people to be the perfection. Only Jesus is perfect. Can I just tell you that? And maybe minister to them a little bit about that. And then when they come to church, then they can just not have their eyes on people or things, but just on the Lord and receiving from the Lord. Amen? So, that's our business. That's our business. Man's restoration. And you see, God's big, wonderful dream. I can't wait. I can't wait for him to say it's fulfilled. I can't wait to be a part of it in heaven at the end of it all. But you know what? In order for that to happen, I've got to be busy until the Lord comes. I got to run my race. Like Paul said, and do everything that's in my power to win people that Jesus died for, because it isn't all about me. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.